Okay, it's Lent, and as I mentioned earlier, it's a time that we are to do a little introspection, so to speak, search our own hearts, and consider the life of Jesus and all that he did for us, and to draw nearer to him, a time of reflection, a time of decision, so to speak, a purpose. That's a better word. The purpose our lives that we would follow him more closely. So in this time of Lent, what I'm going to do for the messages taking us right up to Easter is look at various aspects of either Jesus' life or his ministry or his teachings, and just expound on that as the Lord leads. So first one, it's going to have to do with the Sermon on the Mount. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then we have all of these various sayings of his. It should be noted, though, and that's, you know, perhaps a minor point, but he saw the multitudes, so he went up on a mountain, he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he started teaching his disciples these things. But naturally, the multitude overheard what he was saying, but he was directing this more towards his disciples, teaching them. Okay? It's a fine point, but just wanted to mention that. And the first thing it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I don't know what that means to you, but basically being poor in spirit simply means that you're not full of yourself. You know what I mean? You're not assertive. You're not, hey, you know, look at me. We're humble. You know, humble. And all of these things, as we go through them, you'll see actually reflect Jesus' character. He was humble. He humbled himself to the point of dying on a cross. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to leave his home in heaven to become one of us and live as a human, but he did. He gave up everything that he had in heaven to do that. So he humbled himself. He was poor in spirit. He didn't say, you better do this or else. He didn't wield a cane over them. You know. He taught. He loved. He gave of himself. And that's who he was and how he reacted or interacted with other people. Never demanding. Always being willing to help and everything. So, he was poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now you might look at that verse and think, okay, when do you normally mourn? When somebody passes away, right? But that's not what he's talking about here. Do you mourn in your heart for the condition of the world? Do you mourn in your heart for the lost, for those who suffer? It's not that you're in mourning for somebody that has passed away. It's that you see the troubles of the world. You care. You mourn for the way things are and long for the way things should be. And that's what he's talking about here. And if you have that in your heart, that concern in your heart, you will be comforted. Because there will come a time when you will see, when Jesus establishes his kingdom, that all of these things will be taken care of. There will no longer be any suffering or pain or heartache. And you'll be comforted because Jesus will bring us his comfort and relieve us of the burdens that we feel, you know, for others. It's not necessarily going to happen right now. But even then, in our lives, there are times when as we see him working in our lives or in the lives of others, it does bring us comfort. When we see something good happening, a lost relative getting saved, a blessing in some way. But our heart must be like in a state of mourning for those that are suffering. And it's only then will we be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, a lot of people misunderstand what meek is. Jesus was very meek, but yet he's a mighty warrior. He's king. You know, he sits on a throne. He wields unimaginable power. But yet he certainly does not abuse it. Meek, the word meek, what it really means in the original language is being gentle, accepting without resistance, being content. That's the way we should be, meek. In other words, it's humble. And certainly that's the way Jesus was. He was gentle. We need to be gentle. Accepting without resistance. Oh boy. We can struggle with some of that at times, can't we? When we want our own way, or when we want something that we think is going to be good for us, but the Lord says, no, no, no. That's not for you. There's something else for you. Or maybe he calls us to do something and we're not too crazy about what it is that he wants us to do. Do we accept that without resistance, or do we have our heels dragging all the way? But that's the way we're to be, meek. Accepting his will. Being content with what we have, being humble. And if we are that, we will inherit the earth. It says in the Word that God the Father has been pleased to give us the kingdom, not just a piece of it, not just a little section over here, but everything that's in his kingdom will be ours. Everything. Nothing will be withheld from us. But here again, it's important that we exhibit these characteristics. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is that your heart's desire? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness, not only in your own lives, but in the world? Righteousness is simply doing the right thing. Doing what is right, what is good. Is that our heart's desire? To always be doing the right thing? And seeing that desire in others as well? That's the kind of heart that we need. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. He knows that. Lord, I have fallen here. Or I've done something that I regret. Do you really feel that remorse? And the Lord says, fine, I forgive you. But along with that must come that desire, that eagerness to be better than we are. And that's part of the growth process, part of what he is working in us, to be better than we were yesterday or the week before or the month before. To always be getting better. Do you hunger and thirst after that? We should be. says, for they shall be filled. If you do, you shall be filled with all manner of good things and covered with his righteousness, so we don't have to worry about whether or not we're good enough, because in his eyes we are. As long as we are covered by his blood and his righteousness, yes, we shall be filled. Our cup shall run over. Okay. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that speaks of a principle. As you treat others, you will be treated also. And it's not just of mercy. If you're generous to others, God will be generous to you. If you're merciful to others, God will be merciful to you. You forgive others, you will be forgiven. There's that principle. But I know I want to be forgiven. I want God to have mercy on me, because I'm far from perfect. I still make mistakes. I still commit sins. We all do. That's just part of being human in this fallen world. And I so much want God to be merciful to me and treat me gently. And not, you know, punish me for something or suffer really dire consequences for things that I've done. I certainly want to be spared that if I've, you know, done something I regret or really feel bad about something that maybe I didn't intend to do but did. I want God to be merciful to me. But we need to look upon each other and even the lost with eyes of mercy, saying, I forgive, and not condemning them, and reaching out to them. I mean, there are some people that do horrendous things. We see it on TV, read it in the paper, hear it on the radio, or know people personally, maybe, that do terrible things. We need to be careful about judging and still showing love, showing mercy to them. Because at one point in time, we were no different. We need to show mercy to others in order to receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does that mean, to be pure in heart? I think it means to have undivided loyalty. Jesus himself said, you cannot serve God and mammon, meaning riches. You can't serve two masters. Are you pure in heart, where your desire is strictly for the Lord? Or do you have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, enjoying some of the pleasures of the world? None of us are 100% pure in heart. None of us. I'm not. But is that your desire? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your strength, your mind? That's being pure in heart. If that's your desire, the Lord will give you the desire of your heart, because that is what is pleasing to him, that you put him first. And that's really the first step. Recognizing that he is to be first in your life, and then choosing to put him first every opportunity that you have. Nobody's perfect. But the point is, as often as we can, make the choice to put him first so that we can be pure in heart. For they shall see God. The more I put him first and the more I desire him, the more I see him in my life. I may not see him like I see you, although one day I will, and one day you will. But the more I put him first, the more I see him, my spiritual eyes are open more and more. I see his hand at work. I see him at work in your lives and the lives of others. I see him. Is it your desire to see him? I mean, I do. I desire to see him more and more in my life and yours. And when that time comes, to see him as he is. Yeah, I long to see him. I wish I could see him now. But I know that's impossible. I've thought about that. If he was standing right here in front of me in all his glory and holiness and purity and everything, man, I would just fall away. I couldn't stand to look upon him that way. But someday I'll be able to see him. Someday you will be able to see him just the way he really is. What a wonderful sight that will be. But in the meantime, you want to see him more in your life and lives of others? Put him first. Put him first. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. A peacemaker is more than just saying, hey, you two, cut it out. Stop the fighting. You know, shake hands and that's it. No. It's not that kind of peace. What that actually refers to is promoting harmony and friendship. That's what being a peacemaker is. Because I looked that up in the Greek to see what the word meant. Promoting harmony and friendship. That's being a true peacemaker. Because then you're overcoming the antagonism or the differences or the bitterness or the hatred or whatever there is between two people or more that's keeping them apart, keeping them at odds with each other. You're overcoming that by bringing them together, breaking down the barriers and promoting friendship and harmony so people can live together in love and in peace. Just like here, we're all different. We have differences of opinion, different tastes, different ways of doing things. But yet, because of the Lord in our lives, he has promoted peace between us. And we have harmony. We work together. We love each other. We recognize each other's differences. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all, because there's friendship, there's true love, there is harmony in our lives, and it's all because of him. And that's what we need to be promoters of anytime we have an opportunity, whether it's among brethren or whether it's even in the world, reaching out to others. And then blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the one that probably kind of hits you, you know? If you're persecuted, you're blessed. Oh, I don't want to be persecuted. Do any of you want to be persecuted? No, but we will be. To extent we all suffer some very subtle forms of persecution. Even like Joan did, this woman laughed at you. It was a subtle type of persecution in a sense. Oh, who do you think you are? You want to pray for me? You know? But that's what the Lord says. Why? Why should we be, or why would we be blessed if we're persecuted? They persecuted Jesus, didn't they? To the point of death. If they persecute us, that means they're identifying us with him. There must be some resemblance, right? There must be something that they see in us that reminds them of him. And that's a good thing, even though we don't like the persecution. But what it means is that we really belong to him. And people see that. And they persecute us for that. So in a sense, it is a blessing. Because others recognize the goodness that's in us, the light, the life of Jesus that's in us. No, I don't like to be persecuted, but if it comes, it comes. And that's the way the disciples were back then. They rejoiced because they said, hey, we must be like him. They're persecuting us too. And they were willing to suffer for him because he suffered for them. And that's something else that we need to keep in mind too. All that he suffered for us, is it so much that he asks us to suffer a little bit for him? Not really. It's all going to be wiped away anyway. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you if you're persecuted. Because it's obvious to others that we belong to him. And the kingdom belongs to us then. So there's a lot to think about in here. But all of this should show us Jesus. All of these characteristics, these traits, this was Jesus. In each and every day of our lives, the Lord is working in us to make us more like this, like him. So we are to embrace these things. Take to heart what he has said to his disciples, teaching them these things. And be thankful. It goes against, a lot of this goes against human nature. But that's okay. This is the way we are to be. This is the way that we are being conformed into his image, little by little. And we have some very precious promises out of this. The kingdom of heaven belongs to us. We'll receive comfort. We'll inherit the earth. We will be filled with all of his goodness. We will obtain mercy. We'll see God. And we will be called sons of God, sons and daughters, children of God. That's an awesome thing, to be called a child of God. And in reality, we are. We have been adopted into his family. We are truly his children. And all of that belongs to us. So consider these things, especially in this time of Lent. And ask God to work these things into you more and more each day. You'll be blessed, as it says here. Blessed are you, and you will be. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for showing us a picture of Jesus and yourself, because Jesus is the perfect image of you. We thank you that you are working Jesus' character in us. And thank you for the promises that go along with each and every one of these things. Help us, Father. Help us. Not only to hear, but to receive. And not only to receive, but to embrace. To take to heart everything that you tell us. And help us to live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. That we truly might be your children. Thank you for it all, Lord. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you for your grace. And thank you that you call us blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.